I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
I love whiskey. But that.
Jared, do we have any glasses?
I don't think so. We don't have anything in here, dude. We don't have shit.
We might.
We haven't decorated.
I know.
We're in here. We haven't done anything to this place. All we've done is put the mics on the table. That's it.
That's all good. I actually rewatched the documentary today because that was the first thing I was sort of introduced to. And so today, of course, my nerves got the best of me. And I was like, okay, let's like watch this with the, like, have I first seen everything and remember why the fuck I applied to do this?
Right, yeah. Do you mind
right now, I'm just like, oh my God. No, it's good though. I am excited.
Is it weird watching us on the documentary and then
just like the CBC one, like the intro kind of thing.
Our documentary.
Your documentary.
We have a documentary.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
is it weird watching it and then coming in and like hanging out with us?
Not really. I think I feel a little bit better.
Okay, sweet.
Brian wants you to say that you're starstruck.
Oh yeah, like, that's true. Can I get your autograph?
Especially his presence is overwhelming.
I know. I usually get that.
Yeah. Brian, your presence overwhelms me sometimes. I'm usually quite overwhelmed when we're together. I'm usually sweating.
All right. Well, great.
Wait, hold on. What happened to your wrist? I feel like we got interrupted on that. You said it's December 30th.
December 30th.
People can't see this, but you're sitting in front of us and you have clearly a broken arm of some sort.
Or wrist. Yeah.
It's called a foosh break. It's pretty standard.
A bougie break?
Foosh. Oh. Foosh. It's something like falling with your hand outstretched. It's falling back when you hit your back edge snowboarding and being dumb and putting your hand out by accident so you don't hit your head as hard, even though you're wearing a helmet.
I know what you mean.
So I had my bones reset twice.
Did it look like, that's broken as fuck?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, my hand was twisted a completely different way.
Yeah. Those are my favorite.
Did you do that thing where you grab your arm, you know, like, just below the elbow? So it's, like, almost on your forearm, but, like, kind of just between your forearm. And you just hold your arm up and, like...
just dangles?
And, you know, like, your wrist might dangle, but, like, also...
Also part of your forearm.
Where were you snowboarding?
Martok.
So you literally broke your arm snowboarding down a small hill.
Yeah, it's really kind of embarrassing. And in the second day after having seasons pass.
Yeah.
Do you follow Hall of Meat on Instagram?
No, but it sounds like I should.
At Hall of Meat.
It's a skateboarding wipeout.
Yeah, if you want to watch people just snapping their arms left, right, and center, it is a hoot.
Yeah.
And also will make your butthole pucker up.
Yeah. I mean, but there's different. Like, there's different types of wipeouts. Like, you really like it, but you don't like some of them.
I don't like the bone breaking.
I always watch the bone breaking ones, and I really like them. And then
I like the nut hits. I like when guys are doing a rail, and then they fall and they do the splits on the rail
themselves.
And they just boom right up the balls.
And I'll tell Jay, like, oh, dude, you got to watch this one. He'll go, is it a bone breaking one? I'm like, no, not at all.
And then it is.
it totally is where somebody gets up and their shin is at like 90 degrees to the rest of their leg. And it's just so gnarly.
Well, you know what else is probably pretty gnarly, I think, is what we're going to get into today, because your application, I tried not to read as much as I could because I don't think I've ever heard of what you have or what you've gone through. You listed a bunch of other stuff. You're like PTSD, ADD, ADHD.
Was it like
OCD? But the first one you wrote was something to do with your bladder. And as soon as I started reading it, I had that almost that same feeling that I get when I see someone on Hall of Meat snap their shit, where my butthole went like, ugh, and like even my I could feel like my bladder hurt. So what is it that you have or had, or what was the thing that you put on your application?
Yeah, so it's called bladder extrophy. And to be honest, I have been to the hospital numerous times, and doctors often don't really know what it is because it's very rare. Basically, it means I was born with my bladder outside of my body and inside out is what extrophy
is. What the fuck?
Yeah, man, I'm a unicorn. And it's more common in men than women. So I think it's like a 1 to 50,000. And I'm from Newfoundland, so that's a small population in itself.
Where are Newfoundland you from?
I'm originally from Gander.
Okay, I was born in St. John's.
Right on.
Yeah,
excellent.
But I lived here since I was like three, so I don't really
feel
like a Newf. But okay, so say it one more time because I want to put it into Google here. And I'm a little bit afraid to Google it, to be honest.
Yeah, I literally
I literally just missed everything because Brian handed me a Hall of Meat video that didn't.
Well, here, let me just lay it out for you, Tay. It was bladder what?
E-X-S-T-R-O.
So here's how we're going to get Taylor up to date. I'm just going to show you a photo. E-X-T-R-O.
I heard bladder out of body. That's
holy
it. That's a good
fucking
summation.
Moly. This isn't even a human photo. This is one of those like WebMD photos, and I'm already, my fucking dick hurts. Dude, wow. Look at this little thing. Oh no.
Is my dick gonna hurt?
Oh no, the bladder's just on the outside, it's right on the belly.
It looks like a second, well, that one looks.
It looks like a second vagina on that.
Yeah. How does your body mess that up? You know, like just put everything inside.
What happened there?
Yeah, wow, that's a good question. Crazy. They don't really know the cause, whether it's genetic or anything like that. But I did read something that it's just about, I think it like the fifth trimester or the fifth week of pregnancy that the abdominal doesn't close or things just don't develop properly.
So you just didn't seal right.
Yeah.
So, I'm getting, I almost got to, I'm getting into like the real human stuff now and I'm a little scared. It's not like a case of like prolapse. Like it's not coming out of your urethra. It literally was just like on.
Yeah. I was literally born like, hey, this is what's up with my body. I actually have never seen a photo of that until I was probably 19.
That's wow. Really, I just saw a real one. It's pretty.
Can you show me? Show me.
Yeah. So, okay, you come out of your mom, and the doctor pulls you out and goes, oh.
Wasn't your dad?
Yeah, you come out of your dad. Yeah, they do it differently in Newfoundland. Time change by half hour, baby's coming out of dad's. It's all fucked over
there. It's bizarro world. Yeah.
So you came out of your mom, and the doctor, like, I mean, obviously you weren't there, but were you told, like, was the doctor's like, did the doctor know what the fuck was going on then? Or were they like, whoa, man, I don't know. I think it's her bladder and it should be in there, but it ain't.
I'm 34, so this was the 80s. And so nowadays, they do ultrasounds and they'll see this stuff beforehand. But when I was born, my mom, you know, I came out and the doctors were like, holy fuck, like,
she's an alien.
Something's going on here. They didn't know if I was male or female at first. My mom loves to tell that story. Like, it's my baby girl. I can tell, you know, like, she just knew.
Her maternal instinct.
Yeah, her maternal instinct just knew. And
so they didn't catch that shit on like, on what are they called?
Ultrasound. You would think so, right? But I
was like, did your mom look for the PP? Like, did they try to find out your sex?
I have no idea.
You don't know, okay.
No, I don't really know for a fact, but what I do know is that they had no idea. That it was a shock, which is kind of amazing, really, for 1984 even.
Yeah.
Did they do the
ultrasound, and they'd be like, yeah, it's a boy, but with, like, huge nuts. Look at those nuts, and they're right up on his belly button.
Maybe it's just, like, a break in the link of technology. Like, they had the technology to see it, but the screens were at, like, 100.
That's the thing. I was wondering, like, what were they doing for, like, you know, ultrasound? For like, were they doing the regular?
Like, oh, it's so great that we can look inside, but our screens are—we only have 5 pixels on the screen. So this baby's broken up into 5 different blocks.
Man.
You can't see anything.
Okay, that's crazy. So you come out and they don't know what's going on. Do you know how they do figure out what the fuck's up?
So, no, like just off the bat, like nowadays, I know what they do now. which they
what can basically
they know in the first trimester, first of all. Right. And they can do in utero surgery.
Whoa.
Fuck, that's crazy.
So here's the fucking crazy part.
Depending on the severity, there's different degrees. But
even depending, you're 30, what?
Four.
34. All right? You're 34 years old. Within 34 years, which is not a fucking long time, we can now, first, we didn't even know. We didn't even know if you were a boy or a girl or just a baby with huge nuts. And now we can literally go, oh, that's a bladder on the outside of the baby. Don't worry about it, Mom. We got it. We're going to go in with robots and put that fucking shit where it belongs. And then sew you back up, sew the baby back up inside you. Sewing up a baby inside you.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's almost like crazy. Born. Like you're seeing a baby before it's actually born. But I think there's maybe a little bit more to it than that also, because
probably.
There's also pelvic.
No, it's simple.
It's that. That's it.
They do have a plan. I know it's now like maybe two surgeries, and there's like varying degrees of extrophy. There's like colloquial extrophy, which I think is a bit worse. Which
colloquial extrophy is just
definitely
words.
Pronouncing just that terribly wrong.
Inside your body.
But it has to do with your colon. And then there's classic extrophy, which is like I have like
classic.
Yeah. OG bladder extrophy.
Okay. So you're classic?
So I'm classic. So there's markers with like widened pelvis, interior, some deformity with obviously genitals and bladder, because it's all just
it's all in that area.
Right. And so they now do two surgeries to the belly button and no scarring.
Yeah.
And it's generally pretty good, where I had probably over five surgeries for sure.
Okay, so
in what span of time? Like, was it like five infant surgeries or five surgeries over?
Yeah, it's over. I mean, because this was my birth, I don't really know. The first surgery I had was pelvic reconstruction, so they broke my pelvis.
Whoa.
And then put it back into place. So I had a cast and a bar between my legs until I was almost two.
Whoa.
I wonder how they break your pelvis.
Dude, my sister broke her, actually she did what you did, basically. She broke her radius or her ulna when she was like a younger girl. She was probably like 8, 9, 10. And they put it in a cast and it healed fucked up. It healed wrong.
Wow.
And then she went in, they didn't know it. They took the cast off and they went, oh yeah.
Made a boo-boo.
Right. So we got to re-break that motherfucker. And they put it, I guess they just put it in a vise and like haul on it. Now,
what?
Now that's like a grown kid's arm. Someone's got to break a baby's pelvis.
There's probably somebody who's like really into it that they hire and they're just like,
oh my God. It's like an executioner. Like,
yeah.
Like back in the day, the medieval days.
They're just like, there's somebody out there that's going to be that like, that's like, oh yeah, this is, I'll, yeah, I'm in. I'm,
oh, you need, a, you cool need a baby that. Pelvis breaker? I've been saying that resumes for weeks.
Yeah, I know.
Guys,
and they're like, I can get paid for it?
Guys,
that's crazy.
I highly doubt that's a thing.
Well, why?
Oh, well, I mean, we could go real dark, but it's definitely a thing. But that's not, this scenario is definitely not a thing.
Wait, so, but you said that you've had like a number of surgeries, and like, or I guess you alluded to it earlier on that you go into the hospital and doctors tend not to know what bladder extrophy is.
Yeah.
So like, why have you had to go through so many procedures? Or like, what did it take to like kind of fix that?
Well, so the first one was breaking the pelvis.
So they break the pelvis, then that heals to whatever degree, and then they put your bladder back together out of different organs. So I'm basically like recycled parts. So my bladder is made out of part of my intestine, and so I have like
that's
a large
cool.
badass bladder now that's made out of other organ systems, which is kind of amazing that they can do that.
Yeah.
But I had complications, which had happened later on down the road.
And so that was the reason for the multiple surgeries.
Right,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. I basically being cut open in the same spot, whether it was bowel obstruction, was something I had a lot of issues with because, again, which is horrific pain, as you know.
It's the worst. Yeah, it really, really is hard.
Yeah, it's terrifying, really. Mm-hmm. Like any sort of of pain that I would even get now, it definitely triggers that sort of anxious response, you know, to what happened back then. And then around puberty, they do other different things with sort of like widening, women's things, basically.
No shit. So you were having women's things as in like your vagina?
Yeah. So doing, they like, make sure that things are like dilators and things like that to make sure it's all like good to go if I ever wanted to have kids. But that's...
Wow. So like the they're trying to like... They're trying to widen the cervix, or is it like the vaginal opening?
Yeah, like the vaginal opening. Whoa. Yeah, to make sure that that's all good to go, I suppose. It's a lot of things I didn't think too much about at the time.
Right, but did they talk to you about that stuff at that time? Because that's kind of a like.
It was awkward. I remember them asking me, "Do you know what sex is?" when I was in grade 7, and knowing what it was, and being like, "Nah, man,
no, I have no idea. Please tell me."
Oh. Yeah, and like giving me dilators to use at home, and I'm like, "Fuck that! Like, that's too uncomfortable." You know,
I think we've spoken on this podcast and also on my other podcast that I host with my wife, but we've talked about vaginismus a number of times, and I know in vaginismus, which is like the muscular tightening of the vagina and the internal vaginal wall, would this be considered a type of vaginismus, or was this like completely separate and related to?
I would say it's completely separate and just part of making sure everything is as normal as possible, right? Because they literally redid everything.
What was the last surgery you had?
So the last...
Or how old were you?
Okay, the last like major surgery, however old you are in grade 7, like that one.
Okay, 12-ish.
Then 4 years ago, I had bladder stones. I was getting sick for 4 years and getting ultrasounds that nobody saw. They were saying, looks like an evolving bowel obstruction, which... don't really know what that's
evolving.
Yeah, I don't think that's an actual diagnosis, but people didn't know what was going on or maybe what they were looking at.
Bladder stones, like a kidney stone,
but in your bladder, and they were three centimeters. Like, how do you not see that? But
do you pee those out?
Yeah.
No. So with my bladder, I do catheterization.
Like full-time. Yeah.
Full-time. Let's drop that in there.
Always like that?
Yeah, from day one. Day one, every time I go to the bathroom,
Have you ever peed? Not?
Never.
Whoa.
No, unless it's crazy. Like, you know, by accident.
How does that accident happen? I want to know how an accident
happens. Yeah, I drink too much and then, oh, crap, you know, my bladder isn't as efficient as your bladder,
right?
But I...
It comes out of your ears.
Yeah, exactly.
So as long as you can remember...
I don't know any other way.
Whoa, that's so wild.
Oh, wow. So what does that look like then? Are you catheterizing your
urethra
or your belt? Okay.
Yeah. Full on, just like, you know, peeing anyone else except through a tube.
Brian's mom pees out of her belly button.
Yeah. I actually listened to that podcast yesterday.
Because it's been something that you've done since forever. Do you feel? Is there some kind of like a? Oh, you guys fucking pee out of your. Out of your pleasure station?
You fucking plebes.
You ever hear Neil deGrasse Tyson be like, you know, he's talking about, you know, how great humans are. And he's like, well, we're not really. Like,
he talks about the butt being right next
like,
to the...
Our fucking... Our playground is right next to the sewage system. Like, what the fuck is that? That's a terrible design.
Yeah, right.
So do you ever feel like that? Like, that's weird and
playing in the sewers is kind of fun sometimes, though. I have to say, like, have you ever like gone exploring the sewers? Like,
yeah,
the
Ninja have you ever Turtles? Seen a dead body?
Whoa, my God, what is, dude, you're getting dark. You're getting dark on this episode. Holy fuck.
Okay, so I'm not really sure where to go. I'm not really sure where to go with that one.
That's not your job to go on for me.
Yeah, so, get in there. I want to know. So, like, you've catheterized your forever.
Yeah.
But for people who might not realize what that consists of, like, what does that mean? I understand that a catheter is – I've had a catheter after I came out of surgery.
Right.
But, like, you know, like when that guy – when the nurse pulled that catheter out of me, I remember thinking to myself, how the fuck did they get that in me? Like, that tube was so far up my dick hole.
Yeah.
And the whole idea is, like, I guess so that I can – empty. I can relieve myself like during that entire process. So how does it go all the way? I know
you don't have a penis,
but like, how does it get it? How do you get it in there? How does that work?
I mean, you know, I just take my fingers and stick the tube in my urethra. Like, it's so strange because it's so such a part of my life that I know there's this like big taboo or weird sort of stigma around catheter. I don't even like the word catheterization, to be honest.
Do you use another word? Because that would be awesome.
No, I think I just use tube. I pee through a tube, dude. I'm going to the bathroom.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's definitely, I think, for people who catheterize, it's probably a bit of shame or embarrassment or a weird thing to talk about. I know that I definitely hit it. I know that people listening to this podcast that know me are probably going to be surprised.
Yeah, right.
Right? But yeah, no, there's nothing other than the tube itself. And for me, that's just how I use the bathroom. So it's associated with relief.
So rather than pain.
How
much tube then? What are we talking about? Because it's not that it's taboo for us, but it's
I just don't understand it.
We've talked
about it several times.
I know.
I don't get it.
I don't get the mechanics of it.
Like my mom's got a box of catheters. They're like 14 or 15 inches long.
But I get the belly button.
Yeah, 14 inch French or 12 inch French. Now
that's
just the name of the tube.
Style.
Yeah, it's like a style.
Do you have to pay for them?
Unfortunately, you do.
Right?
Like, I mean, insurance will cover that, but you pay for it and then get it back. It's like $150.
Mine doesn't have coverage on it, too.
A box?
What did the box last you?
2 weeks?
That's a good question. Probably longer than that, honestly. Yeah, probably longer. I think there's about 100 in a box.
Isn't that crazy? You gotta pay to pee.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Are you literally pay?
To use the bathroom.
Yeah.
I wonder if anybody who you know isn't in the situation where they have it covered. I wonder if they just fucking walk around chronically dehydrated because they just want to avoid fucking using catheters.
100%.
That's a crazy thought to have when you think about spending money on something that allows you to do a vital process that happens multiple times daily and going, fuck, I'd love to be hydrated, but I'm just not going to.
There must be people who need them and can't afford them. There must be people.
But then
they probably have permanent ones.
Think of anyone outside of a first world country who needs to use catheters.
Right, but then what happens? Like what would happen if for whatever reason you were like, I have no catheters and I can't get any, but I got to piss.
Does the pee come out?
Yeah. It would be leaks. It would definitely fall.
You just can't push it out. It just comes out. You overflow by a drip.
Yeah, I guess. Okay, so a good example is like you're having a couple of beer, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm having a couple of beer. Oh, I got to use the bathroom. I can kind of push that out, but I'm not going to push all of it out. Mm. There's not the same strength as what I'm told.
Right, sure.
You know, a question that doctors used to ask me that drove me crazy when I was younger was, how do you know when you have to pee? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how do you know when you have to pee? I don't really know any of...
I just have to pee.
I feel it. They tell me that perhaps the neurological signal may not be there for me. But I don't know that. Like, I know that I feel full. I can tell you right now, if I go to the bathroom, I will pee something out. Do I need to go right now? No, not really. But, you know, if I could.
I'm kind of like that too right now.
This is a crazy question, and I know it's going to come off as like really silly and insensitive, but I honestly am asking this for real.
Okay.
Every time I go to poop, I inevitably pee. Oftentimes, the pee comes before the poop.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yes, 100%. Okay. Depending on how full my bladder is.
Right.
And how much I have to poop, I guess.
Right.
Like whatever the pressure is.
But like what comes, okay, it's what about same. What about the pressure of the pee? Like does it come out like...
It's definitely not as strong as somebody that has maybe stronger muscles.
Right.
Okay. Right? I think that's the best thing. It's more about mild incontinence at this point.
Is it a lack of strength? Because it's like, well, that's not your fucking bladder. That's your intestine that's trying to pretend to be your bladder and it just doesn't do the job. It's a, you know.
Yeah. And
I've called in a substitute teacher that really just can't hack it.
Yeah. And I think some degree of maybe like Kegels and stuff, like I've learned to, I think I'm just adjusted myself to how my body works.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's a very interesting question. I used to ask my friends that. It's like, how do you know the difference between when you have to pee or poop? I know. Like I can tell the difference.
Yeah.
But like, what is that? Why is that even a question?
Well, it's the same way. Trying to describe like, what is the color red? Like I'm looking at red, but Tell me you're red.
That's
yeah,
not red.
You can't.
I know that.
So, but yeah, it is. The interesting thing is, you know, our bodies have an incredible way to adapt to things. You think about the brain, like everything that you see and touch and feel and stuff, it's you're only experiencing those things in your brain. Okay. So when you look at something like a blind person learning to read Braille, when they're learning that touch, those signals can actually show up in their brain in the same way that your eyes can read words on a page. Okay. So you can eventually, blind people can train themselves to read at the same rate as anybody reading with their eyes. Right. It just remaps. Your brain has an ability to remap the neural pathways and send these different signals. So I imagine if you've grown up without a bladder, yeah, the use of the muscles in your bladder, then your brain probably adapts in a certain way and uses 100%. What's around there to
it's
help.
All you know. Yeah,
yeah, of course.
That's right? What exactly. I tell people. It's like I'm not trying to compare myself to maybe, you know, like a deaf person or a blind person, but I definitely have a heightened awareness, like a somatic sensation
for sure, yeah,
in my
yeah,
body. Yeah. And I think that goes and translates to other things, like my profession, for example. I have definitely a different understanding of touch and feeling of that.
Because you are you're an actor. Acupuncturist?
Yeah, I'm an acupuncturist, physician of Chinese medicine, and I did Ayurveda. So I did Ayurvedic practitioner in India also.
Oh, sweet.
So all in the realm of integrative medicine is what I would call it, because mm-hmm. I'm obviously using my experience. I wouldn't be alive today if it wasn't for Western medicine, but
totally.
How I continue with my life is not mm-hmm. necessarily Western medicine. So this is kind of how I definitely fell into acupuncture.
Yeah.
How has that... What aspects? Obviously, there's a mixture of methods that you use. What aspects from everything that you practice do you mix into to help you with your bladder?
My
yeah.
own self?
Yeah, with your own
yeah,
self.
Yeah, okay. I self-treat every single day. Mm-hmm. There is medications that people take for bladder incontinence, regardless of what your issues are. Say it's called Ditropan. I stopped taking that the day I started acupuncture school because acupuncture is a neurological effect. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I can treat myself for those things. For bladder control, essentially, mm-hmm. from a neurological component.
Where do you put the needles
so
for that?
So that would be different for every person, but okay. when I'm treating myself, of course, I'm not treating my lower back, but a lot of it has to do with the kidney and bladder channels, spleen channels, so like legs and belly.
Right. Okay. For people who don't know anything about like acupuncture or like meridian channels and stuff like that, you want to give like a Cole's Notes sort of like rundown on what that is?
I don't know what meridian channels are either. So.
No, you don't?
No.
Well, then there you go. Let's give Bri some drop.
Okay,
some
so what is acupuncture basically?
You know, how does it work?
Because I feel like everybody has their idea of what acupuncture is.
Yeah,
but a lot of people haven't done it. I used to do acupuncture a lot for sports injuries and stuff when I was mm-hmm. like when I was in high school. So I've actually gotten it extensively, but I feel like everybody has an idea of what it is. But if you haven't done it, you are probably pretty off the mark.
Yeah, so I guess in ancient Chinese medical terms and how they would explain that is any pathway in the body, any blockage in the body creates pain. And we're sticking needles into very specific points to open up that flow of what's called qi, but that can also be looked at as electromagnetic energy, mm-hmm. what makes your heart beat, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. What I usually explain to my patients, because I do a lot with integrative medicine, so treating Western with Eastern medicine combined, is that you're really stimulating the nervous system. You're mm-hmm. really needling into specific points to stimulate that energy. Yeah, I mean, there's, I guess, many different ways that I could explain that. But
I used to have this issue.
I think
issue.
You did a pretty good job.
Yeah, yeah. That was pretty succinct.
It's a really basic way of explaining it, mm-hmm. but, you know, I could talk for hours and hours yeah. about it.
In a way that
know.
Jeremy understands.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Jeremy understands. Yeah, I got that.
Yeah, I think
but
I get it.
So what are meridian channels?
It's like basically a highway in your body of like an energy highway.
Yeah, like it's like rivers, body. Like rivers flowing through your body and they can be blocked like dams in certain areas and you're opening up that flow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
it's a big part of yin yoga as well. Like the practice of yin focuses on the meridian lines and
if you studied nadis at all in when you did your yoga teacher training, it's like parallel sort of concepts.
Speaking of Ayurveda, I actually want to talk about how I love the
colonics?
Dosha system.
Yeah.
I remember when someone Oh, fuck. Matthew.
The dosha system, for anybody who has no idea what we're talking about, are basically these like three qualities, and you have dominance
generally
of
people
one
have
or
two,
or like, you could have
vata,
like a mixture of
pitta,
three.
Kapha.
Yeah.
Kapha,
yeah. And they're sort of like, you know, you tend to be that if you do these things, then you tend to be this dosha or a mix of these certain doshas, and, you know, fiery, watery, earthy. Sort of
and yeah. And I remember having like a sit down sort of. An appointment with this gentleman who worked with the Moksha teacher training a while back, or Moto teacher training now, and he was an Ayurvedic doctor, and we talked about my doshas and things I should stay away from, things I should stick to, things I should add to my life.
You're a pitta.
And, I'm
Vata.
Yeah, I'm like I'm
pitta,
pitta kapha, actually.
Oh, really? Vata imbalance, I would imagine.
Probably, yeah. I don't have a lot of vata in me, I don't think. Whereas, like, Bridey would be... So basically, pitta is like fire, right? Like, like hot and like, quick and sort of... I'm always fucking moving and, like, you know, I've got acne and I'm... Like, that's vata. And then kapha is, like, lazy, earthy, slow...
Imbalance, it would be like Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
In balance. So, mm-hmm. yeah. In Chinese medicine, we have the same. It's five elements. So they're using the five elements in Ayurveda. They're putting it into three. Vata, pitta, kapha. Or in Chinese medicine, fire, earth, metal, water, wood. And that corresponds to five organ systems. So that's something I'm passionate in, because when I was in school and we're learning about the urinary bladder water element, I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
This relates. I just understood it. Immediately from day one, it was like, wow, I was actually born to do this. Mm-hmm. Like all of my experiences came up to this particular moment.
Mm-hmm. I remember this one time that when I was getting acupuncture I had shoulder issues. I had like super nagging shoulder issues, and I was going to the acupuncture. There's, I don't know if it's still there. I was on Quimpool, and I was going regularly, and I also suffered is a strong word, but I had like chronic like headaches when I was a kid, and when I was in like late elementary school, I would go home quite often because I would just have headaches that just nagged me, and I remember going to the acupuncturist and I told him that, and he was like, He gave me this technique of squeezing here for pain.
Yeah, right. Like you can't between. See this, but Taylor's just squeezing his balls.
Yeah.
Really hard.
You take your balls and then you take the tip of your dick and you squeeze it.
Oh, my God.
That's the chota point.
You squeeze them together, yeah, as hard as you possibly can.
The peritoneum, also known as D1 right. for all the acupuncturists.
And it's really like, you know, he made
Did
it.
Did you say D1? Is that the
D1? Yeah, we called it chota point in school.
is that,
what's
get,
funny is
do
one...
Do people get... So some acupuncture in their chode?
For depending on, you know, it can be used for sexual abuse and things like that. Mm-hmm. But one of the things in school we had learned it is resuscitation after drowning. I don't know if you're going to pull somebody out of the water, pull their pants off, and be like, all right, poke them in the chode.
I need to put a needle in there.
Wow.
Yeah. It's also a tantric sex point. There's many totally. Different like energy flow reasons for it. But I specialize in women's health and reproduction. Mm-hmm. So it is used a lot for repression of sexual.
So yeah, I mean, you
things.
Take the balls and you take the tip of your dick and you just squeeze as hard as you can, and it's so painful that it takes the pain away from your head.
Yeah, you're just dissociating.
And that's basically
super legit.
Super legit. Yeah. No, it was a point between the space between your thumb and your index finger.
Your snuff box.
Yeah, your snuff box. If
that's
you're
actually what that's called.
And you squeeze that, and it was like it's whatever he said is a certain amount of time. It was like it stuck with me so intensely because I still get headaches fairly regularly, and I don't really know why. And I do that every time, and it always seems to help. And I don't know whether, and you know, it's one of those things that I find with like Eastern medicine techniques, where I'm always sort of going like, does it work, or is it in my mind?
Right.
Like how much of it is that it is very concrete, and how much of it is like a placebo because I want it to work, and like. What is that mixture of things? But he said that to me when I was like 15 years old. And
the point is actually located in a little bit different in a divot of a bone. It's called Hagu Li4, which is used for headache. You can go through here, but if you just go a little bit adjacent to the bone and push in there really hard, it's a nerve center. And that's why if you stuck a needle in there, it's correlating to that nerve.
Interesting.
So just like lightning is a conductor, right, or metal and lightning together, your body is also full of all this electricity. So you're sticking needles into specific points to, I guess, redirect that flow or stimulate what that is. So it's the same reason that points in your leg are really good for your back. Or you can treat the entire body from your spine, which that kind of makes sense, right?
Well, let's bring it back to the
bladder extrophy.
You go through those number of surgeries, and I know that in your application, a big part of it that you had written down was that, and please correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think what you were saying was that you suffered from PTSD due to the treatment or the surgeries that came along with trying to you know, restructure your internal organs. Was there one particular thing, or was it just the entire experience of all of that culminated into?
I would say it's all of it. I think even at any age, but as a child growing up, being in stirrups and having multiple grown men and all these students looking up your hoo-ha and all that stuff is a bit much. You know, super technical term for a medical professional. But, you know, I think in the 80s, and I say in the 80s and early 90s because I know that they don't do this now. Mm-hmm. But for people like myself who would cry during exams or kind of lose my mind, they would threaten you. They would kind of give you fear. You know, like, if you don't stop crying, we're going to make you drink this baby bottle of medicine that I hated. And so that was sort of a memory that came. That's a memory that came to me when I was doing acupuncture school.
Silent Hill.
To the point where I kind of said it nonchalantly to a teacher of mine after an acupuncture treatment, and the look on her face was so horrific that I was like, oh, right, that's kind of messed up, isn't it? And called my mom and was like, did this actually happen? Like, because of course, as a child, when you experience a lot of trauma, I don't really remember a lot, or you're not sure what's what or what is real.
Mm. Isn't it crazy how that seems so inherently obvious to you, just as like on a human level, that you wouldn't, that wouldn't be the tact to take?
Also, what's really interesting to think about is, like, so, you know, even further back, I remember I took Advanced English 11, and my teacher, Mr. Strugnell, rest in peace, he passed away not too long ago, he's an amazing guy, he came in and he brought a strap with him. And the strap was like this, it looked like fiberglass, but it was floppy, like heavy leather. I don't remember exactly what it was made of, but anyway, it was hard. It was a thick strap, and it was one of the straps that they used to use to punish students. So, like, if you were a student acting up, they'd go, "All right, Brian, come up to the front of class," and you hold your hands out, and the teacher would come down and go.
My mom used to tell me stories about how they did that to her and people. Proper thing.
Especially Newfoundland.
It's a shame.
Your mother was getting in Newfoundland for sure. Yeah.
Definitely.
At her age. And so he brought this class, and I remember he was telling us about it, and I said, "Mr. Struggle, will you strap me? Like, can you show us what it's like?" And he was like, he literally was like,
"Can you imagine asking a teacher that now?"
I know. But he was such a fucking cool guy. He's like, "Come up, I'll give you a little bit. I'm not gonna hit you as hard as we would get hit, but I will hit you." And I was like, "Okay." I thought he was literally just gonna like do like a just a little tap.
I would have written up a little contract if I were him before I did that.
Nowadays,
hand out, held my palm out, and he goes, literally, like, I mean, you can't see this if you're listening, but it was just like a little soft clap.
And you have that, and you've had that scar like since then.
I haven't been able to use this hand since grade 11. No, but it fucking hurt. And so we think about that now, and we go, "That is bananas." That was the common practice. But 20 years from now, people are going to look back at us right now, like where we live today, and the things that. And I don't know what that thing is. I don't think I could, like, put my finger on it, but something, and we're going to go, it's so bonkers.
Will it be? I mean, I'm sorry. You're right in some regard. Like, there will be practices that we do that we'll look back and go, that was crazy.
That was absolutely crazy.
But not like, you know, it's not.
Well, we're not beating our kids in school anymore.
Yeah, I know.
But
like, because obviously there was people that, there was people back then that would be like,
"Where are you taking this? This is going to get real dark again.
It wasn't going to get dark, but there were people that thought that was the way to do that.
This is the way it is because it happened to my parents and my parents before them.
Yeah.
But you say this right here, but like, oh, like if you don't stop crying, we're going to force feed you this baby bottle of like
trigger of medicine
of
that I hate.
Awful medicine taste.
I'm like six.
That is fucking crazy. Like if someone did that at the IWK today.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Good luck
lawsuits.
Getting another job. You know what I mean? Like that's fucking bananas.
A big thing is like, stop crying. This doesn't hurt. And so that was just like really mind effed me, you know? It's like, crazy. Okay, so physically maybe not. Like, I don't know. Like,
that's crazy. How? They were like, they had like students and stuff.
Oh man, that was a sign experiment, right? Like, I understand that now that I'm older because I'm super interested in surgeries. I've seen autopsies, all that kind of stuff. But I remember, you know, lying down in an OR table and seeing like a room full of people up above me and then people around me.
Is that
and my legs wide open, you know, like
it's
very invasive.
Has that affected the way that like you view yourself physically or like the way that like you interact with other people in relationships and or even romantically?
Could you say the beginning of that again? Sorry.
Does that affect how – did that experience affect how you
definitely.
Look at yourself, like your body and –
Definitely growing up, definitely like high school, like junior high when you're starting to think about those things. When I was in the hospital, I remember kind of positive stuff. I used to call my ileostomy bag, which is like a pee bag basically, my purse. Yeah. I got to bring my purse here and my IV stick, you know, like my walking pole. Like,
why did you get rid of the ileostomy?
That's something that they have to do while they're fixing your stuff, while you're in the hospital, right? And then they put everything back together temporary. Yeah. So, And so,
did you say pee bag? Though? I thought ileostomy was for your
maybe
bag.
I said that wrong.
No,
colostomy
is,
for, is
poop.
Yeah, I think.
And ileostomy is pee?
It's
pee. Oh, I didn't actually know that. Oh, okay. I thought colostomy was a bag that attaches to your colon, and I thought an ileostomy, sorry, your large intestine, and I thought an ileostomy was for the small intestine. But now, but I just learned something, so thank you.
I don't know. I hope that's accurate.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't confidently say that that's right either. But
we're all sitting on a device that can literally tell us.
But yeah, it was mostly body image, just like any other woman. But I have a lot of gnarly scars that now I say, badass scars. But it's a long time before I felt really comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting because I think I have similar problems as a lot of women do. But for me, I was like, I have a reason for this. You know, like you're beautiful and you're, you know, complaining about your body. And I would be angry at that because like I feel like I have like a reason to be
upset. Do you have like specific triggers today? Like before I ask that, like where are you at in terms of dealing with your PTSD from this entire experience?
Yeah, well, before I came here, I actually emailed a girl that I work with who's a social worker at our clinic and said, hey, I'm going to be talking about bladder extrophy, PTSD, and all that stuff. Can I see you sometime this week? Because some things are probably going to come up. So even last night and, you know, this morning, I had a lot of emotions, remembering a lot of things about, you know, not wanting to be treated differently when I was in school, because I was to some degree, you know, like Krista has to go to the bathroom for a long time. Just little things like that. But, you know, with dealing with it, it's hard to say, you know, acupuncture, meditation, yoga, diet, or just like sitting there and crying and being a crazy person.
Yeah, absolutely.
To be really blunt, like today, that's basically what I did. Just randomly crying, but mostly when people are saying nice things to me. That's kind of what like triggers like, oh, Angel, you've been through so much stuff. Like, you're going to kill this. This is what you do for a living. Mm. Like, I can't wait to hear this podcast. And I'm like, oh, my God. A lot of guilt may be associated with, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't have a fatal illness. I don't, you know, there's people worse off than me. And I was kind of brought up even in the hospital with being like, you know, you're fine. Not that I don't have a reason to be upset, but I definitely felt that way. I'm trying to hide and push kind of those emotions down, which is exactly what I don't do to my patients. It's if you just had a miscarriage, be sad, right? If you're pregnant and you had a miscarriage before that, be scared and happy. Don't, everything.
Yeah, we literally just, actually Estelle, who you met in the lobby when you walked out of here, we were talking about Estelle's 2-year-old passed away. And we were talking about grief and we had this conversation about exactly that, of like, it's okay to go to those deep dark places. Like,
exactly.
You know, what did she say? She was like, your sadness has a bottom. And it's okay to go to that bottom and experience that and then come back out of it.
Dude.
I think you need to. I think you have to feel it. Yeah.
It's exactly why they made the movie Inside Out.
Absolutely. Actually, though. Like, actually.
I'm serious.
Yeah. It's okay to feel these feelings. Like, this is who we are. This is what we do.
And it's okay to go to Imagination Land and meet Bing Bong. Like,
yeah.
You know?
God, that was such a great movie.
Yeah, it was. I got to watch it again.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Because a part of her emotional range gets shut down, like like some emotion gets shut down, and it's like represented in the form of like an abandoned theme park that like that's all dusty and like none of the rides work anymore.
Pretty sure that was Rick and Morty where they made the theme park inside the dead the homeless man.
Right. Sorry, I actually never saw Inside Out. I think.
I want to ask you, like, how does it feel right now? Like in this very moment, because I know through our text conversation you were pretty nervous.
Yeah.
And clearly,
you don't seem nervous.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
right?
I get it all out. Like, I'm notorious for being this way. It's apprehension, public speaking. Mm-hmm. I have to sit in my car and bawl my eyes out and be a crazy person and then be, okay, I got that out of my system. Now I'm just going to go and kill
it. Good.
You're the most together person in this room right now.
I know. Well, be careful, Brian. We don't want to give a compliment or too much.
Yeah, exactly.
Should we take you down a peg?
Yeah, you should take me down.
You fucking suck.
Perfect. Now I feel even more confident to continue. But yeah, it's a lot of that, you know, oh, you're going to kill it. You're going to do great. I'm like, oh my God, thank you so much. Yeah, you know, like, and that's what makes me emotional, really.
Yeah.
But
well, you're doing so well right now.
No, thank you. Where I am today, like, I don't really I don't think about bladder extrophy. I didn't even know what it was called until I was in high school. I've never
been shit, no way.
What a trip.
I didn't know what anxiety was.
What do you mean you didn't know what it was called, though?
Like, I didn't know what was going on. Like, nobody talked, you know, nobody talked about it. I didn't know the word.
But we kind of glossed over this a little. I know we talked a lot about the catheterization and the experience early on when you were first going through surgery and stuff, but what was the conversation and education like from your parents when you were kind of realizing that, like, how did you realize that you were quote unquote different than other people who weren't born with bladder extrophy?
Well, before being in and out of the hospital my whole life, but my parents would have to catheterize me before I knew how to do that, right?
Right.
And so I felt ashamed, embarrassed, and I never talked about it. It's like, this is what I have to do. Don't say anything ever.
But you
to
knew
anyone.
That like other people went to the bathroom differently.
I knew that I was different, but I don't know. It's strange. I don't think I've ever been asked that question before. A big thing was it was just never talked about. I remember Googling once I heard bladder extrophy after having a bowel obstruction or what they thought was that, and the doctor being like, or my dad being like, oh, she has bladder extrophy. I'm like, what?
Dad, wait, I have what?
But then the doctor being like, what's that? And I'm like, geez, like, where am I? Like,
how does my dad know something the doctor doesn't know?
How come that no doctors know what bladder extrophy is? And come to realize that, wow, okay, it's really rare. So then I Googled it and I'd seen those photos in high school and I was like, never look at this shit again.
Yeah.
How rare is it? Do you know?
She said at the 50,000 while you were watching Hall of Meat.
I was watching skateboard videos, sorry.
It's 1 in 50,000.
I think that's crazy. Accurate, that's, and it's more, and that's men. It's less common in women.
Crazy. I actually pulled that up. It said in the Googleizer is saying that that when it's attached to your bladder, the ostomy is attached to your bladder. I'm assuming it was.
Sorry?
I'm assuming your ostomy. Sorry, this is going back. I just wanted
way back when I was a child?
Five minutes ago in the episode when you said you had an ileostomy.
Okay, yeah, it's an ostomy bag.
Was it attached to your bladder? I'm assuming it was.
Well, it's attached to the man-made bladder.
Man-made bladder. So the Googleizer is saying that it's a ureostomy when it's attached to the bladder. And an ileostomy is
that would make sense.
I was right.
I think so.
Yeah. It's a small intestine ileostomy, colonoscopy, lower intestine.
I think we're all right. Because my bladder is made out of small intestine.
Colostomy. Whoa, crazy. Whoa.
So I think
wonder,
we're all accurate right now.
Whoa, I wonder if they, I wonder if you were told, if, I wonder if it like, you know, if I were to get one, it's a ureostomy, but you got one and they were like, it's an ileostomy.
Yeah, because it's attached to me, the small intestine that's made out of my
bladder. I got some facts here. I got some facts here, folks.
Oh, whoa,
ready for it?
Yep.
Here we go. So for everyone who is listening very attentively and they're writing down stuff for the test at the end, I'm just going to lay out all the things that are actually true according to urologyhealth.org. Sounds pretty fucking legit.
Yeah.
Those are kidneys, bro. How often does bladder atrophy occur? Bladder atrophy is rare. On average, it occurs in about, nailed it, 1 in 50,000 people. It is slightly more common in males than it is in females. Did you say you thought it was more common in males?
No. Yeah, it's more common in males than in females.
You fucking nailed it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything that people don't already know.
You nailed it.
It is crazy, though. Like, I didn't know that was a thing.
Bladder atrophy?
Yeah, no. I didn't know that was a... I think I've heard of babies being born with their heart on the outside.
Yeah.
Would that be like, I guess, would that be called like heart atrophy?
I don't think so, but I don't know why it wouldn't be called that. It, like, rationally, that seems natural. Yeah. I've treated fertility patients and then they became pregnant that had found out, oh, hey, their stomach, part of their intestine is outside of their body.
Whoa.
And so, of course, they were talking to me and I'm like, oh, that's, you know, I'm not trying to be insensitive, but that's really cool because for me, you're seeing this your first trimester in an ultrasound and the doctors have a plan of what... he's going to be fine. Like, he's actually going to be fine.
Yeah, because
and they're going to have this done like as soon as he's born. Like, it's going to be. And if you have any questions, come talk to me.
I feel the same way about kids born with CF today.
Right.
And parents that are like, ah, my kid has CF, and I'm going, look, I know it sucks, but also could not be born at a better time than ever, because it's their lives will not look like mine. You know, you want to sit down and have a chat and have coffee and talk about how hard it is to have CF. Well, I mean, you know, it might be really hard. It might. But there's pretty good chances that their life's going to look very different than a lot of the people that are my age today with CF.
Sick Boy Podcast will be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Do you know how long you were sitting with that bladder, like, on the outside of you?
I don't know specific details, but my first surgery with the cast and all that, I'm pretty sure they just had something over I can't call it a bladder, like what was protruding out of my body. And then they put everything back into place after the fact. So that would have been just before two. But I'm a little loose with the actual timeline.
Just before two?
Yeah, like I think they broke my pelvis, and then there's the cast basically goes up to like your ribs, basically, right? And then the bar between your legs, and then after that is when they did all the reconstruction.
So you had a sort of outside bladder for 2 years?
I don't know if I can't definitively say 2 years, but my aunts and all my family remember, like they'll say it to me. I remember what you looked like. And I'm like, oh my God, like I'm glad I don't remember that.
Did you hug me?
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, is that sticky? Did I stick to you?
Is it sticky? I don't know.
It's like a weird.
Yeah. I'm sure it'd dry up. I mean, it's on the outside.
Well, you probably wore dry. You probably wore clothes.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh, but that's got to like,
I think they mesh that over. Yeah. And then, you know, obviously there's some technical things that we're bypassing completely here, but...
They just put cheesecloth on it.
Yeah, hope we stuff it back in.
It'll be fine. Man, what a trip. What an absolute trip.
But it's amazing that even in the 80s, you know, like, you know, my body's made out of other organs. Like, that's really cool.
That is really cool. So, and also, I know you said that they use part of your intestine. Is that all it's made out of, is parts of intestine?
Yeah, I think that I have, like, dime-sized bladder, and then they're like, here you go. So now I have, like, an enormous bladder from what my urologist here says. He's like, your bladder's huge. Yeah. Like, I'm like, okay, great. Like, maybe that's...
Throw back a 2-4, and you're set.
Yeah, exactly. You you said it.
So. Yeah. Seal is broken long into the night.
Like, yeah, exactly.
How long does it take you to pee?
So it depends on how much I'm drinking. So like sometimes it can be, you know, a couple of minutes. Other times, if I'm drinking a lot, of course, a little bit longer. So definitely longer than the average person. I don't want to say maybe 5 minutes.
Is it because when you catheterize, it takes, like when I go pee, I've got this like fire hose effect where it just goes into the water and it's splashing it all over the toilet seat. It goes everywhere. It's crazy. I got this really like powerful, strong bladder.
Yeah.
But when you go pee, is it even with the catheter, is it like it's just a slow pour?
No, man. No, like it's the same thing. Like I'm pushing and it would be like, whoa, like that's real strong flow because there's a lot of fluid there. So the difference is when I go to the bathroom, I'm peeing out my entire bladder if I stay there long enough, which is kind of the goal, right? When you guys go to the bathroom, you don't need to fully pee everything out. But I'm being very successful with it.
I went to take a pee yesterday and I stood there, no fucking joke, 2 minutes peeing.
Yeah.
And I started laughing. I was just going, this has got to stop at some point.
Yeah,
like,
so I
felt
would
like one of those weird
things.
One of those it did. But like I felt like one of those fucking things you find at like Spencer's Gifts where it's like the fountain that the never ending fountain. You know, like where it's like
Austin Power, the Austin Powers.
Yeah, dude. You know what I mean? So like was I not I must have completely emptied that bladder. Or did I not do I just when I pee?
I'm not entirely sure on that, but I'd say if it was for you for 2 minutes, it would be close to 10 minutes for me.
Oh, okay. Oh fuck. Okay, yeah.
So you're in
I would say so, but I don't, you know, it's hard. Like, but, you know, it's a strong stream, right? When I can feel it like, oh crap, if I don't use the bathroom right now, I'm going to like actual pee in my clothes.
Yeah.
Like dribble in my underwear and it's like, okay, I'm going to run to the bathroom. Then that's, you know, that's a good steady flow.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty proud of that. With my man-made bladder, I still have muscles and Kegels, and I think I've developed those things that maybe I'm told are missing.
Yeah.
So it's maybe a hard thing for me to wrap my head around because it's just something that's so normal to me. And when I talk to people, it sounds normal to like every other buddy's bladder, except I have a tube.
I just have an extra. I've always taken pride in kind of having a bit of a soft flow.
Because I make no
mess.
Oh, dude, if I don't lift the seat,
like when I see pee all over a fucking toilet seat, I'm like, who the fuck was here?
It was me at your house. It was me.
I identify with you, Taylor.
I'm like, who did that? Because when I pee, sometimes it's just all in the bowl.
Sometimes I'll pee at the urinal, and I'll be like,
splash the seat in this,
but I'll be like this.
All in your face.
Why are you drinking it?
I was trying to get my face away from it.
He just points it up. You're just pointing it up at your face.
Dude, you're literally pointing at your mouth right now.
The issue is I'm pointing my dick at my chin.
He didn't even realize. Could you do that with a catheter? Are your catheters like bendable?
I was like, full on. I could definitely aim some things at you guys right now.
Could you stand up? Can you stand up?
Yeah,
and do it?
Full on. Yeah, it's actually probably better for gravity. When I was in India, I realized that it's way easier to pee. They have those like holes. They don't have toilets. Like squat.
Squats, which is really the ideal way of
using the bathroom.
You know what's funny is that we are now like seconds shy of talking for an hour, and there's probably so many people that were like, "Fuck, when are they going to ask if she can piss standing up?"
Yeah, have you ever spelled your name in the snow?
My mom stands when she pees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, she pees out of her belly button, so
I don't have to if I'm tired.
She's
but
not going
like,
to lay on the toilet.
Squats on the toilet.
Yeah,
it's like get my leg workout.
But have you ever spelled your name in the?
I haven't spelled my name in the snow.
I don't know if I've done that either. To be totally honest.
I don't know if I've actually peed outside in the snow.
Maybe I have.
Yeah, really? Outhouses, but maybe not snow. Anywhere else outdoors, but
it's pretty
maybe
satisfying
not in the
when
winter.
You pee in the snow because it just goes right through so easily.
Bucket list this winter.
Yeah, I mean, here we go. New year, new you. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's a thing. There's a thing that I mean, we're on the pee train. We're talking about pee, so I might as well tell this story. There's a thing that I love to do, and I have a dog named Bigby, and sometimes when I'm a little drunky boo. I'll come home and I'll be so happy to see my dog. I'm always so happy to see him, especially when I've had a couple drinks. Like I'm
dude, me too.
He knows when I come home drunk because he's like, oh yeah, Dad. Dad's extra happy to see me today. Yeah. And I'll be like, you want to go for a pee? Want to go for a pee? Pee a little bite? And he's like, yeah, I want to go pee because he has to pee. He's been inside. And then I will go outside.
Good
and
description.
I'll pee with him. And it's just such a bonding moment.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you put your leg up and everything? Yeah. Like,
no, I pee on the same bush that he pees on.
You know what? I do that too with Loki.
And you guys live on the fourth floor of an apartment building, so you just do it off your balcony?
Well, no, I take him down out front onto the street, and then we do it there
together. Yeah. So I wanted to ask you.
God, you look so uncomfortable, Brian. Oh my God, he's been building up the courage this entire time.
Brian just said he doesn't have a dog to pee with.
Yeah, I was actually that's what was getting to me.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, is there any like risk or any concern that like the way that they've constructed your bladder that will break down over your lifetime earlier than like what would be expected of like a normal regular quote unquote bladder?
Damn, I never thought about it. No, that's not. No, honestly, everything's good.
Yeah.
As far as I know, everything is fine. What I need to worry about moving forward is stones. Stones is a big thing. Because with using tubes, you're putting, you know, foreign bacteria into your body from time to time.
Right.
And so it's just really staying on top of that, which is why I had surgery a couple of years ago because they didn't detect them.
That's right. So, right. That was it. We said this way early on and we lost track. Typical us. Leave your scathing reviews at applepodcast.com. you had stones. I'm thinking kidney stones. So you're saying bladder stones?
So I don't know.
what is that?
For about 3 years, I thought I was getting maybe bowel obstruction pain. And so I don't go to the hospital anymore until I start throwing up. I just suffer in excruciating pain for like 10 to 12 hours.
Yeah, me too.
Because when you go to eMERGE, they think you're drug seeking. And I don't even, that's
crazy.
And even though I have like 10 charts in Newfoundland, it's still the same process, right? And so unless I'm throwing up, I don't go there. And so this happened over a period of 3 years.
Then when you get there,
evolving bowel obstruction.
When you get there, you throw up on the triage desk, and then that's when they go,
treat me now.
Oh, yeah.
She's actually sick.
Yeah, we still can't give you anything, though, until you see the doctor.
Right.
Which, that's protocol. Okay, cool. So that was like really crazy. It was a really crazy experience. My urologist has always been here in Halifax. So at this time I flew here and it was kind of crazy. I went to see two doctors. They did one where they were going to blast stones with like ultrasound. They tried to do that when I was asleep and I basically took
like they snuck up on you while you were sleeping?
Yeah, and I was just like sleeping and like
get those stones.
Yeah, so they tried to do it and like
I got all of them.
They tried to do it a certain way, and because my bladder is intestine, it's very porous. So they have to fill your bladder up with fluid, and basically what happened is that I became sodium deficient. I'm not even going to use the technical term. And if you Google all the side effects of that, it's gnarly. It's like mental confusion, coma, like craziness. Belly was distended so far out. It felt like I have like a linear scar. It felt like I was looking down at my stomach thinking that something was just going to like break out like alien something, right?
Whoa.
I thought sodium was like super bad and you just wanted to get as little as sodium
as possible. It's the sodium potassium sort of stuff, right? So they're putting so much fluid into your body so they can see what they're doing, and I didn't catch that one.
It was a bad joke.
Yeah.
Hyponatremia.
That's right.
Hyponatremia signs include altered personality. That's so vague.
Right. Yeah.
Altered personality. Jer's really nice and like kind of goofy, but then when he has a hyponatremia, he's a fucking bore.
Yeah, dude, which you're probably at risk.
Yeah.
Because of sodium deficiency, like you lose a fuckload of salt. Yeah, so you're probably at risk of this condition.
That's why I'm so moody.
A lot.
I do want to read this though. Low sodium hyponatremia occurs when you have abnormally low amount of sodium in your blood, Or when you have too much water in your blood. Whoa, too much water in your blood. Low blood sodium is common in older adults, especially those who are hospitalized or living in long-term care facilities. Signs and symptoms include altered personality, I love that, lethargy and confusion. Severe hyponatremia can cause seizures, coma, and even death. That is gnarly. Shit.
So no coma, no death.
But how did you get the hypo?
So they pump your bladder through a fluid so that they can get in there, see where the stones are floating around. So my bladder is special, and it's made of intestine, which intestine will soak up that water, right? It's kind of like a sponge.
That's what your large intestine does.
That's what it does.
It pulls the water out of your poo-poo.
And so this is what they think. When I actually came out, they're like, we have no idea why you have distended belly, that it looks like it's going to explode. But they had asked my boyfriend at the time, you know, does Krista usually, is she usually really quiet, you know, like doesn't talk very loud, all that kind of stuff. And he just bust out laughing because I'm really loud and I talk all the time. And yeah, so that's my altered personality there.
The doctor's just like, why are you whispering? Why are you whispering? You're just like,
I didn't talk to anybody.
And they're like, we can't hear you.
Yeah.
Also, this is now the ASMR podcast.
Sorry, wait, did I just miss something? What just happened?
Do you know what ASMR is?
No.
I'm doing a session right now.
Oh, yeah. And then I'll come over to your house and make sure that you have the door unlocked.
This is too much.
Oh, isn't that relaxing? Just imagine I'm brushing your eyelashes with a very coarse comb.
Holy fuck! What just happened to my ears?
Taylor's an old man. He doesn't know what the internet is, so he has no fucking clue what ASMR is.
There's so many people who are so confused. There's so many people,
there's so many
like,
people that are just like, oh my god, I'm going to sleep.
Wait, is that a fucking sleeping thing?
No, it's like a semi arousal. Dude, I don't fucking know, man. Look it up.
Oh my god, is that why I'm hard right now?
It's a feely good thing for your ears.
It is. It's like a massage for your fucking head.
What does ASMR stand for?
ASMR is autonomous sensory meridian response is an experience characterized by a static-like and or tingling sensation of the skin that typically begins on the scalp and moves down the back.
Dude, that was so overwhelming. Like, I got to a point where I was like, I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Because there were three of us fucking ASMRing your ass.
I have been talking about that so much the past 3 weeks. Like, what can I do with my voice now that I can't work?
Yeah. Just.
And I've been sending everybody voice clips because I couldn't type. So I was hi guys, how are you doing,
Taylor?
Today?
When you watch actual legit ASMR videos, you are gonna get so uncomfortable. Like if anyone would get so uncomfortable that they would get angry, it's Taylor.
Wait, why?
Oh, dude, you will.
I can't wait for
really?
You to watch it.
I
like
will
them.
Fucking hate it.
Is it like white? Nice. I like white noise.
No, it's not no. white noise, dude. Dude, it's literally. It's look. I have a super long beard right now. People like if people haven't seen me. A bit. I have a big beard. This is ASMR. Me using my beard. ASMR. Hold on. Shut the fuck up. Hold on. Donovan, turn this up. And that's my and that's my beard. And my beard's rubbing on your face.
I personally like
I'm
the.
I'm kidding. That's ASMR.
Yeah, that was
just scratching. Just scratching the fucking, mic. Like, a little fuck. Fucking squirrel just burrowing at the mic. Oh my god. Guys, this straight up, my favorite bit that we've ever hit on the podcast ever.
It's fucking funny, man.
Oh, fuck.
Holy shit.
What's really great is we have literally the most top of the line for ASMR.
Dude, like, my brain hurts.
Yes, I know. This is the ASMR kicking in. That's how you know it works.
I don't even have headphones on.
Dude, it's so, especially with these
it's a
ones.
Lot.
It's
a lot.
So much. Here, put these on. Let's do one more session.
Oh my God, wait. We're beating a dead horse now.
No, let's do one more session for Brian.
One more session for Brian. Here we go.
I'll do your sound, Brian. You just sit back, close your eyes.
How now, brown cow, my beard is so full.
Oh, yes.
Oh, fuck it. This might be one of the funniest.
No, I don't have headphones, so I can't hear any of that.
God.
I think this is a new subsect of the show.
This is it, yeah. Sick Boy is
getting
a fucking...
We should do an ASMR podcast.
We're starting a new IP. This is it. You're hearing it now.
We should have just did the whole
conversation. Brought to you by Snack Labs, everybody. Snack Labs. Brought to you by Snack Labs. Well, I feel like it would be weird if we ended it on that. Let's rein it back in.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you the question that we ask most of our guests, which is, what would you say you've experienced a lot of things, out of everything that you've gone through, what would you say is the biggest thing that this entire life experience has taken away from you?
Oh, man. Now I feel like I need to whisper.
Use your thoughtful voice.
Yeah. Taken away from me? It's so funny. If you were to ask me this when I was younger, I would have thought of 1,000 things.
You're like, my normal bladder?
Like, my the ability to hold urine. It's taken away. I have more fear. I think the mental, emotional aspects of what I went through is probably the biggest thing that is kind of taken away from me. But I can turn that out of positive also. But
question was, what would you say is the biggest thing it's given you?
Oh, it's given me my life purpose. It really has. I can relate to pretty much anyone and empathetically. My profession, it's done everything for me. It's amazing. I'm so grateful. Mm-hmm. Which, if you were to ask me that when I was a teenager, I would have said, you know, very depressed then. Like, I want to end it all. But now I'm just like, fuck yeah, I'm amazing. I got a badass bladder and I pee through too.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah. Usually this is where we end it, but you just said something that made me, I can't help but think about this. The intestine is an absorber. What's the fucking word? That's not the word.
No, I think that's it. Absorber.
It's an absorber. it absorbs liquid.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of odd?
I guess it's counterintuitive.
Yeah, like does it pull out the?
I think with that particular thing we were talking about, the stones, they were pumping my bladder like really full with fluid, and so it absorbed very well, very much, right? Mm-hmm. And so on the day to day basis, you know, that's a really good question. Like, I don't really think I know
the urine.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Maybe it doesn't work the same. Like once they take it out of little package where it exists initially.
Yeah,
is your bowel absorbing? Like literally absorbing H2O. Right?
Well, mm-hmm. There's water in your pee. So, like, do you pee more? Like,
what color is your pee?
Well, I drink a lot of water because I'm very, you know, adamant on, you know, what my bladder look like, what my urine looks like, right? So, because it's made out of bowel, there's more mucus. And there will always be slight different bacteria. Like,
do you have mucus in your pee?
Yeah, like, it'll always
be
there.
Pee?
It kind of looks like, slimy? I don't know, like little bits of sludge, but like not always, but there's always some slight degree of that.
Right.
And then I'll always, when I do urine tests, there'll always be high white blood cell count, even when I don't have, say, an infection, just because it's a different, two different systems, I guess.
Mm. Right.
Dude, this is fascinating stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like really, really interesting and like the human body is just
so—it's amazing.
It's so amazing and so bizarre.
Yeah,
you know, like the fact that we can come out of the womb with the parts of us that are supposed to be on the inside, on the outside, yet that doesn't equate. I mean, it did at a time, but it doesn't equate like death. You're a 34 year old woman thriving, like
killing it,
literally able to go break your fucking wrist while snowboarding. Like you can do amazing things.
Yeah, travel the
yet
world.
You came out with a fucking internal organ that you need existing on the outside of you
and inside out
too. Like
right, like what
that is.
Mind fuck. That is such a that is Chris Angel mind freak. And your name is Christina Angel, and I think that is a perfect place.
Has your brother ever used it in one of his bits?
Episode title, Christina Angel mind freak.
Krista Angel mind freak. I get it a lot.
Krista Angel.
What's the catchphrase?
Are you ready?
Yeah, that's right.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Which also, that is that's a little bit of ASMR for you right there, Taylor.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Angel, Krista, whatever
you want to call me.
Whatever you prefer to go by, because you go by both.
Are you Chris Angel?
I am I'm actually Chris Angel. It's just a facade. I'm levitating here, actually,
And then you were just like, what's a natural progression from Chris? Oh, Krista. Okay.
Yeah.
Krista.
Thank you, David Blaine. Thank you so much. Krista, no, but honestly, Krista, thank you. Like, thank you for coming in and sharing so much of that, and also just to know that you, because you alluded to it earlier, how there's going to be some people that listen to this that don't fucking realize.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people that know me that listen to this and be like, "What?
Kudos to you! Kudos to you!" Because that's a big step. Like that's a really rad thing to do, and I'm glad you decided to come and share that with us because.
Thank you for having me. It's the big thing. Yeah, it's really inspiring.
Sweet. Yeah. Thank you all so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. And we'll be back for another episode next week, as we always are. In the meantime, head on over to Apple Podcasts, which is an app on your phone. And also, if you got a MacBook, it's just like it's iTunes. It's just on your computer.
Yeah, it's in your
and
iTunes.
You go to the podcast part of it, and you can leave a rating or a review, and
it'd be really nice.
It would be really nice. It actually means a lot. And here's the funny thing is we were like, let's do this thing where we just read the shit reviews. And so there's an option.
Well, there isn't any good ones.
There's an option here where
we're most helpful.
No, no, hold on. That you can sort it. So it's customer reviews. I love that it's customer reviews. Like, thanks guys. Thanks for being our customer. You can choose most critical reviews. So this shows us like the lowest ratings.
Yeah, but we read these two already.
We read two of them already, and then the rest are super nice.
The rest are just really nice. So if you could help us out, go on there. Leave us a 5-star review. Actually, no.
Just
leave us a 5-star review, but say something really crazy and mean so we can read it on the show. Well, because there's too many nice 5-star ones.
Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read one of our most recent reviews. Which is actually not a 5-star. Here we go. It's a 4-star.
Oh, it's a 4-star.
Yeah, fuck that.
Hopefully there's some constructive feedback in there.
So here we go. At Keep On Keeping On, this is coming from East Coast Biologist.
Oh, I read this one. This one that says, cool. Please include more ASMR in the podcast. Oh.
Well,
that
would be hilarious. Your wish is our command.
I got something to say after this. East Coast Biologist, thank you for leaving a review. I have been a dedicated Sick Boy listener from the beginning, and I look forward to new releases that I save your podcast for my weekly trip to the grocery store. That's so cute. I swear everyone around me probably thinks I'm insane because I'm either crying or laughing out loud every week without fail.
In
the grocery store. Usually, just picture someone picking up milk going,
oh, God, eggs. I need eggs.
Usually both within the same trip. I'm currently working towards a career in healthcare, and I recommend Sick Boy to literally everyone I meet. I think healthcare professionals could all benefit from the raw, uncensored look into the patient's perspective. Keep up the incredible work. The world is a better place because of the conversations you guys share.
Yeah, and something they didn't mention there is that it's almost a substitute for medical school, which is really powerful and helpful. So
that person sounded
sure
like
a lawyer is not going to agree with that.
That person sounded like they really liked the podcast, and I would guess by that review that they probably support us on Patreon.
Yeah, and if you want to do that. And you don't already, you can go to patreon.com/sickboy and just become one of those great peeps because we love you and we know who you are. And thank you so much because we have new conversations. We go to new cities. We tell amazing stories with that support. So patreon.com/sickboy.
And thank you to Donovan, the CPAP Morgan, for the amazing sound design on the show. And also thank you for the ASMR. Noises and sounds that you're putting in.
Donna is going to add them.
Thank you.
Well, I can't wait to see what he does with this.
And and also thank you to Take Part for the theme music. The band formerly known as Take Part.
And then
formerly known as Florida Man, created the theme song for the show. They probably have a new band name by now, but we don't know what it is yet. So
I think they're currently jury's out on that one.
We'll tell you when we know. But by the time this comes out, they'll probably know.
Oh, here's a 2-star review.
Yeah, well, let's save it for next week.
Okay.
Before I say that is it for this week, there is something that I seriously want to throw to that is going to mean a lot to someone who's listening right now. There was a series of tweets that came into Sick Boy at Sick Boy Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Sick Boy Podcast or on Instagram at Sick Boy Podcast.
Same.
It was a series of tweets that came in from, I would say, right now, probably our super fan, someone who guarantee you listened.
I know who it is.
10 times out of 10, no one's listened this far into the podcast. Once you get to the fucking credits, and no one's listening.
She's listening.
This young woman is listening right now. Jennifer Feltenstein or Feltenstein. I don't really know. I'm just going to fucking say Feltenstein. I know you're listening, and you sent us a few tweets the other day that I don't think the boys saw, but I'm going to read them right now for you guys. And for you, Chris Angel.
I read all the Jen content.
Jennifer Feltenstein tweeted us December 29th at Sick Boy Podcast. Have you thought about doing an ASMR episode of your podcast? I don't mean interviewing a guest who uses ASMR. I mean talking in whispered voices which trigger ASMR. That would be cool. I wonder what your Canadian listeners would think of that. Because Jennifer, for the people who don't know, which is everyone, lives in New York City.
So she has Canadian. Cerebral palsy, I think. Does.
Yeah, she uses a wheelchair full time. I know that. And she's a big advocate for that. Okay, so that was tweet number one. She continued. The same tweet, but second tweet, because you only have 100 and whatever, 21 characters or whatever.
40?
At Sick Boy Podcast, 140. Because I listen to the podcast to make me laugh, calm me down, and relax. Or, if you want, you can interview a guest who uses ASMR to relax them. That would be interesting to hear how it helps them. Not to mention, I fall asleep from it sometimes. What? You fall asleep from our podcast sometimes?
No, from ASMR.
I think she falls asleep from her podcast sometimes. At Sick Boy Podcast, this is the third tweet of the series of three. Someone with insomnia and anxiety, just a thought that you might want to do a podcast episode on it, even though it's not a medical condition, but it helps relax anxiety, which is one. By the way, ASMR stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response.
Why didn't you whisper all of that?
Yeah, I should have.
Can you not slam your phone down on the table like that?
Here we go. Stands for automatic sensory response. Jennifer, just so you know.
Oh my god.
We love the fuck out of you, Jennifer. That is it for this week.
I'm Brian.
I'm Taylor.
I'm Jeremy.
Chris Angel.
And this is Sick Boy.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.